Worship. Theology. Faith.
It's a church that had three banners made. This is absolutely true. I've seen the picture, and it says worship.
Except it says W-O-R-S-H-I-P.
And then it says faith, F-A-I-T-H. And it says theology. Oh, wait, it says theology second, sorry. Theology, T-H-E-O-L-O-G-Y. Then faith, F-A-I-T-H. The letters across the top, W-T-F.
Church didn't realize what they were saying. Maybe you do, or maybe you don't know what the church was saying. However, those three letters were my exact reaction to this Bible reading today. Bible reading from 1 Kings. Only I wasn't thinking of worship, theology, and faith. I was thinking something that could be more, you know what a nice paraphrase would be. Huh? Naboth wasn't harming anyone. Ahab, the king, wanted his land, and he offered to pay well for it, to his credit. Naboth wouldn't do what Ahab wanted. Well, I mean, that was his ancestral land. I don't want to give away this thing. It has a sentimental attachment as well as it belongs to me. Then Jezebel, Ahab's wife, told Ahab, just take what you want. Then Jezebel hatched a scheme that ended with Naboth dead and the field in Ahab's possession. And then Elijah got wind of the whole scene and he went to Ahab threatening his total destruction. And thus endeth this week's reading from 1 Kings chapter 21, 1 to 21. You don't feel like saying God's word for God's people, or may these words uplift us. May these words bring us peace. After the reading, there's a little bit more. Ahab did beg for forgiveness, and he got it. So destruction was averted, at least for a time. Elijah said, well, okay, no destruction for you, but future generations, they're in big trouble. So he just sort of put off that. And Naboth was still dead. He was murdered. And Ahab and Jezebel, they were in the clear. There you go. Messed up. Right in the Bible. It's not fair, is it? It's not fair when people get away with stuff that is so awful. It's not fair that people would do things that are so awful. And I have said many, many times, no matter who you are or where you are in life's journey, you're welcome here. I have said God's forgiveness is for everyone. I have said that God's love is unconditional, and I'm really ticked off at Jezebel here and Ahab, and I am glad that I am not the one who judges. Well, maybe I'm not. I mean, I want justice. Abuse of power is never good. I'm not saying that power is not good. It's people in positions of power often get to do good things. But abuse of power, no matter where the power comes from, never good. And Ahab and Jezebel abused power. And they got away with it. And Naboth's family, doesn't say it in here, but they were screaming for justice. And this word justice, it's a tricky word. It's easy to say we work for justice. As Christians, we work for justice. As people of faith, we work for justice. As people who just want the world to be a better place, we work for justice. But I have the theologian René Girard to blame for this. Justice is tricky because justice and revenge are like this. They are completely linked with one another. And we don't want it to be, but... Whoa. Just fell. We don't want it to be that way, I don't think. But justice and revenge are so connected to one another, especially in a case like this. Naboth demands justice, or Naboth's family want justice. And justice is fair, but it's also, we want Ahab's head. We want Jezebel's head because they have done something that wronged us. Now, the family doesn't say that. You can see how they would want that. Whenever we talk about justice, there is this side of whoever is abusing power ought to be held accountable for that, and there is a revenge factor in that. I think we just have to acknowledge it, that revenge and justice are linked to one another in a very uncomfortable way. Whenever someone, a group of people, whoever it is, gets something that has been denied to them, the person who was abusing power or the group that was abusing power lose something. And sure, that's fair, but something is getting taken away most often. Justice is also tricky, not just because it's so linked to that uncomfortably, but also because it's different than charity. It's pretty easy to do works of charity. It's pretty easy to be a charitable organization. St. Paul's United Church of Christ is a charitable organization. The gifts that you give to the church are tax deductible, and we are not a taxed organization, and we do works of charity in the community. We give money to all kinds of different causes. We work in places that help people. I'll take PADS, for example. PADS has a vision of justice, but really there is charitable acts going on. Somebody needs a place to sleep, we provide a place to sleep. We're not necessarily addressing the system, the problem overall. We're alleviating a symptom of something that's going on. Charitable work is important, and it often goes hand in hand with justice work. But justice work is really a long haul. And instead of alleviating symptoms, it challenges systems and says that this system in place needs to change. The system in place needing to change with Naboth or with Ahab and Jezebel wasn't Ahab doing something wrong or Jezebel just doing something purely evil. It was the power system, the ability to abuse power that the king had in there. As a matter of fact, all the way back, before there were any kings in Israel, God got it. Because the people said, we want a king. We're tired of all these judges. We're tired of what's going on here. Give us a king. And God said, you don't want a king. It's not going to work out. It's going to be bad. And they said, no, we want a king. So God said, fine, you can have a king. See for yourself. Pretty much like that. God got that. The system wasn't going to work. The system was flawed. But God gave the people what they wanted. So justice work, even though it is uncomfortably connected with the word revenge and even the thought of revenge, is a long-haul thing. And it addresses not abuse of power as a symptom, but the ability to abuse power as a system. It addresses not the need for food, which charity does, but the systems in place that cause food distribution just to be completely out of whack. It addresses not giving somebody who is thirsty a glass of water, but the system that says that we control the water and whoever is not near water doesn't get it. The system that says the water distribution is only for the people that have and not for people that have not. Justice is hard. Justice is a long haul. Justice addresses systems and not necessarily symptoms. How many of you are that's not fair people? Well, first I should say, how many of you are the oldest sibling in your house? That often comes with that's not fair, and it usually works like this. That's not fair that they get to do that, and I didn't get to do that until I was such and such an age. Anyone ever say that as an oldest sibling? Yet you said that? I am not the oldest sibling, but my sister said a lot of that's not fair. I'm the youngest sibling, so I'm like, no, everything's fair. I get what I want, right? No, but that's not fair comes out of a lot of times the personal this is what I want. This is what I want. It's not fair that my little brother or my little sister gets that when I didn't. Nowadays, it has to do with cell phones usually, because in the year 2000, let's say, it was when you're 18 or 19 or something, your parents will say, it's okay, now we will get you a cell phone. And now it's when you're 8 or 9, we want to make sure that you are connected, and so we will make sure that you have that cell phone. It doesn't necessarily work that way, but there's a lot of that's not fair going on from the older siblings. We, Cassie and I, often just throw our arms up and say, third child, what are you going to do? It doesn't go over well with the other two siblings very well. We get a lot of that's not fair. But so there's that's not fair from a it's not just to me standpoint. But there's also that's not fair from a world standpoint. And I think it's good to be that's not fair people in that way. Because when we see abuse of power, or when we see systems of distributing food and money and water that are unfair, we can say, that's not fair, and I need to work for justice. We need to work for justice. We need to make the world a better place because it's not fair. Father's Day was started. Why? Somebody said, that's not fair. It's not fair that there's a Mother's Day. It's some funny things that have gone along with Father's Day over the years. One is that fathers have kind of rebelled against it. It was a woman that started Father's Day, and they're like, I don't care about cards or flowers or things like that. And I'm talking in my gruff man voice, you know, because that works best for this. And that's one of the reasons why Father's Day gifts aren't as big and why Father's Day celebrations aren't as big. Men have kind of said, I don't really care about a Father's Day. But it was started because someone said, that's not fair. And the work at establishing something like that and the work at making it into something where it really is an appreciation day is hard work. I don't necessarily think that's justice work, but it's still hard work. But I want to challenge us, not for Father's Day, but on Father's Day, to be a people who are unafraid to work for justice, even though it's hard. And we have to be a people that continue to work for charity and do things that are charitable, but there is something deeper than that. It has to do with this welcome is not enough. Welcome seems to be a charitable act. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. Of course you're welcome here. But how about wanted and attended to? That's something that's more related to justice. Justice says you are valuable, and the system in place makes you seem unvaluable, not invaluable. I think that's the positive too, right? The system that's in place makes it seem that you are not. At St. Paul's United Church of Christ, when we say no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here, I want us to do more than that and say you are wanted, not just welcome. We attend to one another, not just welcome each other and smile and say nice things or even be polite. We work together for justice with everyone in the room and with people who aren't in the room who we wish were here. Not people who are on vacation, but people from across the globe, people from across the spectrum of opinions, people from across the spectrum of colors, of skin, of attitudes, of orientation, you name it, economic status. We need to be a people that work together for justice. And a really important phrase to remember in that is nothing about us without us. When we're working for justice, let's say it's about economic things. We need to have voices that aren't just rich voices at the table. We need to have voices from all across the spectrum. Whatever system we're talking about, when we're talking about disability, we need to have people of all ability at the table talking about that. Justice work is hard. Justice work demands our time, our energy, our effort, and it also demands more than just welcome. It demands attention to one another. It demands that idea of nothing about us without us. So I hope that as you leave today with a challenge to be a people of justice, that you leave with the thoughts of attention, of together, of with. Such important words in this struggle. Yesterday at the Illinois Conference meeting, I know I got something else in my mind and I want to say it. Sterling Carey, who was the conference minister of the Illinois Conference in the late 60s, early 70s, he said, words are no substitute for the struggle together. So me saying it, us saying it, is no substitute for the struggle together with people from across backgrounds, with all of us, with everyone working together for a just world. I don't know when we're going to get there. I don't know how we're going to get there. But the challenge is before us. Let's be. Let's live. Let's work together as a people of justice. Amen.